famous bestiary, Anima Unnaturale. It have three leggies of an mermaid, the hair of an tortoise, the teeth of an fowl, and the wingies of an snake. Of course, I have only my wordy for it, the beast having the breath of an furnace and the temperament of an rubber balloon in a hurricane. The chimera was an extremely rare species, and this particular one wasn't about to do anything to help matters. It judged its moment carefully, kicked away with its talons, folded its leathery wings, and plummeted down towards its victim. The chimera's technique was to swoop low over the prey, lightly boiling it with its fiery breath, and then turn and rend its dinner with its teeth. It managed the fire part, but then, at the point where experience told the creature it should be facing a stricken and terrified victim, found itself on the ground in the path of a scorched and furious luggage. The only thing incandescent about the luggage was its rage. It had spent several hours with a headache, during which it seemed the whole world had tried to attack it. It had had enough. When it had stamped the unfortunate chimera into a greasy puddle on the sand, it paused for a moment, apparently considering its future. It was becoming clear that not belonging to anyone was a lot harder than it had thought. It had vague, comforting recollections of service and a wardrobe to call its own. It turned around very slowly, pausing frequently to open its lid. It might have been sniffing the air if it had a nose. At last, it made up its mind, if it had a mind. The hat and its wearer also strode purposefully across the rubble that had been the legendary Roxy to the foot of the Tower of Sorcery, their unwilling entourage straggling along behind them. There were doors at the foot of the tower. Unlike those of Unseen University, which were usually propped wide open, they were tightly shut. They seemed to glow.
"You three are privileged to be here," said the hat through Abrim's slack mouth. "This is the moment when wizardry stops running."
He glanced witheringly at Rincewind
and starts fighting back. You will remember it for the rest of your lives.
What, until lunchtime? Said Rincewind weakly.
Watch closely, said Abrim.
He extended his hands. If we get a chance, whispered Rincewind to Nigel, we run, right?
Where to?
From, said Rincewind. The important word is from.
I don't trust this man, said Nigel. I'm not going to judge from first impressions, but I definitely think he's up to no good.
He had you thrown in a snake pit.
Perhaps I should have taken the hint.
The vizier started to mutter. Even Rincewind, whose few talents included a gift for languages, didn't recognize it. But it sounded the kind of language designed specifically for muttering. The words curling out like scythes at ankle height, dark and red and merciless. They made complicated swirls in the air and then drifted gently towards the doors of the tower. Where they touched the white marble, it turned black and crumbled. As the remains drifted to the ground, a wizard stepped through and looked Abrim up and down. Rincewind was used to the dressy ways of wizards, but this one was really impressive. His robe so padded and crenellated and buttressed in fantastic folds and creases that it had probably been designed by an architect. The matching hat looked like a wedding cake that had collided intimately with a Christmas tree. The actual face, peering through the small gap between the baroque collar and the filigreed fringe of the brim, was a bit of a disappointment. At some time in the past, it had thought its appearance would be improved by a thin, scruffy moustache. It had been wrong.
"That was our bloody door," it said. "You're really going to regret this."
Abrim folded his arms. This seemed to infuriate the other wizard. He flung up his arms, untangled his hands from the lace on his sleeves, and sent a flare screaming across the gap. It struck Abrim in the chest and rebounded in a gout of incandescence. But when the blue afterimages allowed Rincewind to see, he saw Abrim unharmed. His opponent frantically patted out the last of the little fires in his own clothing and looked up with murder in his eyes.
"You don't seem to understand," he rasped. "It's sorcery you're dealing with now. You can't fight sorcery." "I can use sorcery," said Abrim.
The wizard snarled and lofted a fireball which burst harmlessly inches from Abrim's dreadful grin. A look of acute puzzlement passed across the other one's face. He tried again, sending lines of blue-hot magic lancing straight from infinity towards Abrim's heart. Abrim waved them away.
"Your choice is simple," he said. "You can join."